Morning, church.
Morning.
Would please take your handbook, hymn number 535. 535. Sing all three verses. 535.
I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory and way. Telling the world that Jesus is here. I'm in the glory and way. Oh, I'm in the glory and way. I'm in the glory and way. I'm in the glory and way. This to the call of God to call today. Yes, the glory and way. Wanderers, come home, oh, peace to obey. Yeah. I'm in the glory and way. Oh, I'm in the glory and way. I'm in the glory and way. Heaven is nearer than the way of God. I'm in the glory and way. On earth I go rejoicing in His love. I'm in the glory and way. Soon I shall see Him in heaven of us. I'm in the glory and way. Oh, I'm in the glory and way. I'm in the glory and way. Heaven is nearer than the way was before. I'm in the glory. Oh, I'm in the glory and way. I'm in the glory and way. Heaven is nearer than the way. I'm in the glory and way.
We're opening prayer this morning. Would please. Bring your hymn books to hymn number 43. That's hymn number 43. We will sing the first and the second verse of this hymn. I see 1, 2, 2. It's going to be the third verse. Word for your turn.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You are
Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? Dear Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day that we can come together and focus our minds upon the cross, and that we'll focus up on the needs of one another, and that we'll pledge to you to work better together in the future than we have in the past, that we'll put animosities aside and look to the cross for guidance. Dear Father, we look around this world and we see floods, we see fires, we see wars, we see division, we see hatred. And we ask that you intervene in the hearts of men and women, that we can do our part. And we pray for your part, dear Father, that you will help us through this plague of disasters, that we may focus our minds upon you, and that we will put our hearts at ease with you and your word. We thank you, dear Father, for the great world that you have trusted us with, and we pray for your forgiveness because we have not taken care of it as good stewards should. Pray that you'll help us, dear Father, and that you'll continue to bless us and help us day by day to be better than we were the day before. Help us to grow to perfection as you would have us to do. Dear Father, we pray for the sick of our number, all those on our list, and for those who are not. We pray for Dorothy Bates, who will be undergoing surgery on August 8th. Be with this dear sister. Help her to return to the fold and in good health and able to do your work. We pray for James Baldwin and Stephanie Perkins that they may overcome the illnesses that they have. We thank you, dear Father, for the Davises and celebrate with them that their marriage will be a blessing upon all of us and upon them and their family. Dear Father, we also thank you for our sister, Luella Brown, and for the years of service that she has given you in this congregation. And help us, dear Father, to celebrate with her and her family as she reaches a great milestone in her life. Help us, dear Father, as we go day by day to reflect the kindness and love that you have for us. For we ask it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Prepare our minds for the taking of the Lord's Supper this morning. We'll be sending hymn book to hymn number 371. 371. Say, all the people.
Thank you. And in Isaiah 53, we can read of the account of the suffering servant. And we can read those verses of Scripture, and it allowed people during the time of Isaiah, you know, a glimpse into the future of the suffering that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was going to have to endure. And it wasn't just the physical suffering that he had to endure, but it was the fact that, you know, people despised him. He was rejected by people, and a lot of people were not going to really appreciate that gift that he was going to give us, that gift of salvation. And we all know that how hard it is to, you know, just for us to be able to help someone, to look out for people when you know they are against you, that they don't like you. You know, even if you do help them, they're not going to really appreciate it. And it can influence our decisions of whether or not you want to help them or not. And to imagine that Jesus was willing to, he was given his life. He was given his life. He was willing to die. And he was aware of those same things, and he still gave his life on that cross. So let us all keep that in mind as we pray for this opportunity to take the Lord's Supper. We have the two emblems. We have the bread, which represents his body. We also have the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Heavenly Father, so honored to be able to come together on this first day of the week, to come and gather around the Lord's table, to be able to reflect back, Heavenly Father, to thy Son Jesus, to his for that sacrifice that he made, that he was so willing to make, that even though this world was so full of sin and we were not deserving of that gift of salvation, Heavenly Father, but to know that his love for each and every one of us was so great, Heavenly Father, to give his life, knowing that he was without sin, that he had the power to save himself, Heavenly Father, to become that sacrifice so that we may have that hope at salvation. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we are about to partake of this bread, that we do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the cup. Dear Lord and Father, we know what love is, for you have indeed shown us what true love is. As we remember your Son on that cross, we remember the suffering that he did on our behalf. We remember the blood that was shed on our behalf. We remember the suffering. We remember him saying, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, we know that because of your love, because of the sacrifice that was given, we are able to commune with you this morning. Help us to bring all these things to view, ever so present before us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone has been overlooked, if anyone has been overlooked, raise your hand. Seeing no more hands, we have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. It's hard to put into words, you know, all the blessings that we receive. It's all the time. Just being able to go about our daily lives. A lot of times we might not think about it or be as thankful as we should be, but it's every day that we wake up, it's just a blessing. So this, right now, this opportunity to give, this is a This is a joyous occasion. This is a time to be happy because we have an opportunity to give back and to show our appreciation to all the blessings that our Heavenly Father gives us each and every day. So let us keep that in mind as we prepare to give thanks for giving. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you first for waking us up this morning, allowing us to live another day, Heavenly Father. Walk out our homes to enjoy this beautiful day, to marvel at all your creation, Heavenly Father. And just at this time, Heavenly Father, just to be thankful for giving us the will and giving us all our abilities, and to know that you provide all our happiness and all our joy in our lives, Heavenly Father, that you are by our sides during times of sorrow, during the most difficult times. We know that you will bring us through any of that, Heavenly Father. And we're just so thankful for this opportunity to be able to give back just a portion of those blessings that you have given us, that we can use to further thy good work, Heavenly Father, to spread thy good word, to be able to tend to the needs of this building, Heavenly Father. And we just pray that as we give, that we will do so in a manner that will honor and glorify thy name. For this we ask for thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
Woodley from Temple 885. 885 is the song of invitation. 885. Pastor Barton Dead Nim, Woodley from Temple 806. 806. Sing all of the verses of him, and ask all those who stand in.
I'd like to stay here longer than men's allotted days, and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell him to sing my story there on high. There is my dear Redeemer, no more to hold back. Oh yes, I'll live in glory, by and by. I want to be in service along this pilgrim way, and lead the lost to Jesus as fervently I pray. And day by day I travel, I'll keep him ever high, and live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell him to my story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer. No more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. series. By faith I look away to the yonder homes of Fernal, the land of Philistines. I cling to him forever and look beyond the sky and live with him forever. His glory by and by, oh, yes, thou living glory. By and by, I'll tell and sing of glory. There on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to lose, oh, yes, I'm living glory. By and by, oh, yes, I'm living glory. By and by, I'll tell and sing of glory. There on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'm living glory by and
Scripture reading for this morning's sermon take place from the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and verses 5 through 7. Proverbs, chapter 3, and verses 5 through 7. That I'll be reading come from the New King James Translation. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And now our brother Norman, in his sermon this morning, is titled Daily Habits to Stay Focused on God.
Good morning. Truly God has once again been good to us and better than we have been to ourselves. I want to thank Brother Hank. He really put some energy in there. I see why he's doing that. Amen. Amen. But he did put some energy, and we just appreciate the songs and those who join in with him today. We do congratulate you and your wife, and we just pray that God give you many years in marriage. Truly, God has been good to us, and it's good to see this audience this morning. And if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning, and those who are tuning in on our conference call as well. We welcome you here to the Ypsilanti Church of Christ. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. O wise, eternal Heavenly Father God, we just again thank you. Thank you for this day, and thank you for your blessings that you bestowed upon us. And Lord, now as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word, what it has to say to us in our situation. Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's everlastingly too late. Guide us throughout this day and throughout life. Forgive us of any sin we may have committed through thought, word, or deed. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord. Verse 5. With all thine heart, lean not unto thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. This morning I want to give you some daily habits to stay focused on God. And I want to say at the outset, there are three things that I want you to keep in mind. You will never stay focused on God until you make up your mind to do it. You will never get close to God until you make up your mind to do it. And you will never be a person of prayer until you make up your mind to do it. It doesn't matter how many sermons preached. It doesn't matter how many lessons is taught. It will never do us any good until we see ourselves in the lessons and in the sermons. When you come, you ought to be coming to find out what I can get from the lessons, from the sermons, to help me to be better, to help me to get closer to God, to help me in my prayer life. And until you do, you will always leave this place untouched, unmoved, and unchanged. And so this morning we want to look at some daily habits to stay focused on God. Because whatever we focus on has the power to influence how we think, how we speak, and how we live. Because if you don't stay focused on God, then you will be focused on what other people are doing, and your vision will get blurred. In other words, you will get distracted from what God wants you to do because you are busy trying to focus on what somebody else is doing and what somebody else is not doing. And if you don't stay focused on God, you will dwell only on those things that you don't have or haven't happened in your life. In other words, what this does, ladies and gentlemen, is that what it does is to close your mind into the many blessings that God has given you that you didn't work for, that you can't afford, and that you don't even deserve. None of us deserve the blessings that God has given us each and every day. But we ought to thank God. Thank God that he's merciful. Thank God that he is kind. Thank God that he is good, that he's blessing us even when we don't deserve his blessings. And if you don't stay focused on God, your mind will be focused on problems, problems, and problems. And not only will this get you anxious, worked up, and afraid, but understand you will forget that God is bigger than all of your problems. If you don't stay focused on God, who is always ahead of you, then your mind will be glued to things that are behind you, like your past mistakes, like your achievements. Because when you're focusing on past mistakes, what it does is it keeps you from reaching out to embrace the new things that God wants to do in your life. But also, when you focus on past achievements, then it makes you conclude that you have made it, that you have arrived. When there are greater heights that God wants you to press on and to attain. So if you don't stay focused on God, then your thoughts will be fixed only what is happening in the world. And then you will lose sight of where you are headed. You will think that this world is our permanent home and not live with eternity in mind. And so if you don't stay focused on God, then we will focus on our desires, on our problems, on our shortcomings, and even become focused on other people's blessings instead of our own. That's why you and I this morning need to stay focused on God. And so when we look at Proverbs this morning, in Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to notice some habits that we need to stay focused on. The first one is there in verse number 5. And the first habit I suggest to you this morning is don't depend on you. Don't depend on you. Because we live in a world where trust must be earned and seems to be a short supply. And so Solomon, the famous king who wrote Proverbs, knew that trust is exactly where we must start. Notice what he said. He starts out by saying, trust. Trust in who? In yourself? No. Trust in the Lord. See, trust is something we decide to do. It is our response to what we know and love about God. It requires our heart. It is out of devotion that we give our lives to Him. And the Scripture promises that if we seek God's will, then He will show us the path in which you and I to take in our lives. So He says, trust in the Lord, but watch this. Lean not on your own understanding. So don't depend on you. Lean not to your own understanding. See, most of us have faced disappointments, and which have taught us that we can only depend upon ourselves. But hear me out. Living the life God has called us to means that we have to unlearn that lesson, that you can't depend upon you. And so instead, we got to rest in God's understanding. So we may know in our mind that He possesses all wisdom. Well, how do you know that? Because we see it in Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. He says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. So we may know in our minds that He possesses all wisdom. But sometimes trusting Him completely can be tough. Well, what do you mean? Sometimes what we experience may make it difficult to feel trust in God. But I want you to notice that this verse does not tell us to feel close to God. In fact, it tells us to look beyond our feelings. Don't depend on your understanding. Instead, seek God's input in your life and believe what He has given you in His Word. And so when bad things happen, and when we give into temptation, or when we have tried to do everything right, and it still produces struggles, all of those times when trusting God seems hard. But understand, the Lord understands these things, and He remains with us while we are trying to figure it out. So He tells us, don't lean on your own understanding. So each day, we must consciously lay aside our own plans and expectations and surrender to His plans. So, again, it goes back to the question, what if we don't feel like we can trust Him like that? Well, that's where the next point comes in verse number 6. That is, we got to cry out to God. We got to cry out to God. You got to, surrendering to God begins with our lips and our thoughts. We need more than a commitment to depend on Him. We need to cry out to Him to show that dependency. Now notice verse 6. He says, in all. Now He didn't say some. Notice, He says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. So when we pray, then we admit that His ways are higher than our ways. And we show that we are leaving our troubles, we are leaving our burdens, we are leaving our dreams in His capable hands. Because in fact, the Bible promises that when we reach out in prayer, He hears us. Look at Psalms 55. In verse 17, the psalmist says, evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He will hear my voice. But we have to understand that in order for God to do that, then we got to make sure we stay in a right relationship with Him. All right? And so we got to understand, what we are doing then is that when we are depending on Him, when we are acknowledging Him in all our ways, what we are doing is we have handed the keys of our lives to Him. And we know that He is able to lead us. But in order for that to work, in order for us to do that and understand that God says, I will direct your path, is in verse 7. So what you have to do then is that you got to run from evil. That's in verse 7. In verse 7, He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Why? Because if you go back to verse number 5, the reason you are not wise, because you are not to lean on your own understanding. That's not wise. So be not wise in thine own eyes. Notice what He says. fear the Lord. But then he says, depart from evil. Run from evil. So much is in this world that can clutter up our relationship to God. And so even our blessings can easily become our stumbling blocks when we think of them as what we deserve and this is what we need to make us happy. And so we instead, you understand that life works best when we remember the true source of our blessings. And the true source of our blessings comes from God. And so, and what we have to do then is when we acknowledge that our blessings comes from God, then we ought to focus on things that please Him. Because we know where our blessings are coming from. And so if you are serious then about being used by God, if you are serious in staying focused on God, then you have to say, Lord, what do I need to let go of? That's what you got to say. Lord, what is it that I need to let go of? What do I need to cut out? What barriers are holding me back and keeping me from running the race that you have for me? See, the one thing that can hinder us is us. We can hinder our own blessings. And so we have to understand. We got to begin to turn it over to Lord, to the God, and say, Lord, what is it that I need to let go? And then once you understand that, then you understand that sometimes the only way to live the life God wants us to live is by separating ourselves from the bad influences that keep dragging us down. You got to learn how to cut it off. Because if you don't, it will continue to drag you down. If you don't, it will stop the blessings that God has in store for you and I. That's why in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, so what happens is when you separate yourself from bad influences that keep dragging you down, you got to replace it with something. Well, what did you replace it with? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, he says, flee also youthful lust. But here it is. Follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. So when we pursue Him, then we find life. We find abundant life. Running from evil and pursuing God doesn't come naturally to most of us. And so instead, it means that we have to make a serious change. That's why I said earlier, when you come into the service or into class, you ought to be focused on what it is that I can get out of it that's going to help me. And when we look at some things that's helping us, then it causes us to make that change, to do what we need to do, to help us to be what God would have us to be. Are y'all with me? And so we have to understand that we have to make a serious change. Well, how do you do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. The way you do that is you got to, first of all, put God first in your life. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. See, it's easiest to put ourselves first. But what the Bible and what God wants us to do is that if you're going to be pleasing to him, you're going to have to learn to put him first in your life. When something good happens, we want to congratulate ourselves with a reward. But when something bad happens, then we want to console ourselves, or we want to find somebody else to blame. And so to get there, you got to make sure that you check yourself by the word of God. So if I'm going to seek God, if I'm going to pick up these habits to focus on God, then guess what? I got to check myself. Now you hear that? I didn't say you got to check somebody else. You got to check yourself by the word of God. All right? And so, let's be honest then. We aren't so good at evaluating ourselves. We can evaluate other people, but we are not good at evaluating ourselves. We will go to great lengths to excuse our behavior, our actions, and our sins. Who needs a defense attorney when we can pretty much find a reason for any bad thing that we do? And so the prophet Jeremiah, he captured this very well. Now notice what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But then he asked the question, who can know it? And so if we're ever going to truly trust in God and flee evil, we have to know exactly where we stand with God. And the way that you know where you stand with God is you're going to have to look into his perfect law of liberty. And you have to see yourself in the mirror. And when you look in that mirror and you see that what needs to be changed, guess what? You change it. It may be hard, but I'm doing it to be pleasing to God. And so we have to understand that we got to know exactly where we stand. But then we have to find an objective measure that tells us the truth. All right? See, we might tell you something to make you feel good. Oh, you look all right, but you know you're raggedy from up and down, but you say you look good. No. We need something better than that. We need a measuring tool. And the measuring tool that we know and the truth comes from God and his word. That's what we have to look into. And so that doesn't mean we always like what we see and how we see it. And so, but notice this. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 11. My son, Do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke. Proverbs 3, verse 11. Sometimes it takes something bad happening or seeing ourselves in a bad light before we finally admit that we need to change. And so the more we are in the Bible, the more likely that's to happen. Because you are seeing yourself in the Word of God. And that's why the psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And so we have scripture planted firmly in our hearts. When we do that, God will often use that to deal with us. And then finally, I suggest to you that you need to rest in God's love. Rest in God's love. When we face a difficult world each day, we can sometimes wonder if God even cares. And so what happens is we take our focus off of God and we start putting our focus on our difficulties, on our problems. And when we do that, then we begin to ask, where is God? God is always there. Because he said in his word, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. And then you begin to ask yourself questions. Why do bad things happen? Where is God when I need him the most? And so Solomon reminds us that God never takes a break. He doesn't leave us to fend for ourselves. In Proverbs 3 and verse 12 again, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As father, the father, the son he delights in. And so church, listen. Even in the midst of turmoil, even when you're going through what you're going through, stay focused on God. Because God sticks with us. And he uses those challenges to shape us. And so when we understand that, then our perspective completely flips. No longer do we see our setbacks as failures, but we see them as moments when God, as our loving Father, is working on us, making us who he wants us to be. So I challenge you this morning. I challenge you today to take a step back and ask God to help you to see your situation through his eyes. Not your eyes, but through his eyes. Allow him to broaden your perspective. And as he does, take comfort in the rest that he's already provided. Because he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, and my burden a light. We got to learn to stop sometimes. I know that we are busy, we're going here and there and doing this and that, but sometimes in life, you got to learn to be still and know who God really is. Be still and know what God has done, what God is doing, and what God continues to do in all of our lives. Everything around you is shaking. He is a firm foundation. He knows how to steady you. He knows how to establish your footing on a solid ground. That's why I encourage you this morning. Keep your eyes on him. Stay focused on him. And in order to do that, you understand that I can't depend on me. That there are times I got to cry out to God. God, I need you. God, I can't do it all by myself. I need your strength. I need your guidance. And that's why he says that if you trust me, I will direct your path. Don't depend on you. Cry out to God. Run from evil. Put God first in your life. Check yourself by God's word. And then, when you find out that, hey, I'm living like God wants me to live, I'm doing the best I can, you can be able to rest in God's love. Be able to one day realize that one day this whole world is going to come to an end. That if I've been found faithful, I can hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou have been faithful over a few things. Come and I'll make you ruler over many. You remember that he said that even though you're going through stuff, that I've told you I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you can say in the end, Lord, you've been that friend that stick it closer than a brother. You got to stay focused. Stay focused on God. And God will see you through. If you're here this morning and not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you need to respond to it. Don't worry about what your friend, your loved one would say. You worry about what God is going to say when you stand before him. I'm prepared to meet him. You've heard the word. Believe it to be true. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. The Lord then will add you. He'll add you to his church. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Then you got to live faithfully. You got to stay focused. Stay focused on God until he calls you from labor to reward. If you're here this morning, maybe you're a child of God. Maybe your focus has not been on God. Maybe it has been on something else. Now is the time to say, Lord, today I haven't been what you want me to be. I haven't been focused upon you, but today, Lord, I've decided that I'm going to stay focused upon you. I decided to follow you. No turning back. No turning back. Because, Lord, I want to go home and live with you forever and ever. What is your decision this morning? I hope you make the right decision as we come and stand and sing the song of invitation.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and all the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together to learn more about your word and with the understanding maybe to apply to our daily lives. We pray, Father, for the people who are sick. Pray for the people who have illnesses right now. Be with them, comfort them. Pray, Father, for the people who have surgeries. Help them recover at a much appropriate time. Pray for the people who are traveling, that they may get to their destination safely. Watch us, guide us, and keep us safe, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen.